The life of Charles Robert Darwin had many layers. Born in Shrewsbury, England in 1809, Darwin was a naturalist, scientist, writer, husband, father, and revolutionary thinker. In 1831, he began a five-year voyage on the HMS Beagle that brought him to the Galapagos Islands off the coast of South America. Darwin considered the expedition the most important event in his life, and the experience provided the basis for his theory of evolution. Charles Darwin died in 1882 with one regret: he could not draw. Award-winning author and artist Peter Cease can. Cease has written and illustrated a new book for young readers called The Tree of Life, Charles Darwin. Darwin is not the first historical figure to be a subject for Cease. His last book was about Galileo. Peter Cease explained why he decided to take on Darwin.
I should say I love maps. I mean, I grew up in the country which used to be called Czechoslovakia, doesn't exist anymore, and I couldn't travel as a child because it was behind Iron Curtain, so I loved to do these maps and dreamt about the places I could go, and then from maps I got to the point when I thought I should do maps about the history of civilization or people, and that's how it came to Columbus and then Galileo and now Darwin. And with Darwin, when I started to read about the voyage of the Beagle, I found out many, many more things interesting about his life, and that's what led to this book, which unfortunately took much more time because his life was really full.
Yes, it certainly was. The Beagle itself, you actually render for us. There's a line drawing of the Beagle itself, and then we get to see how the ship was built, and you give us the full diary of the
entire
sail.
That was the thing that I got too much information. That this was the one book when I collected too much information beforehand, and then I couldn't remember where I've seen what. But this is all documented, because the advantage of doing a book on Columbus or Galileo was that they lived long time ago, and I could make up lots of things. With Darwin, it just seemed he lived yesterday when I went through all the diaries, and then you find documents about everything, and they are these little wonderful subplots of his relationship with Captain Fitzroy, who was from the aristocratic family, and he wasn't supposed to mingle with the sailors, so they needed somebody who would have dinners and breakfast with him. So Darwin was hired to go on this trip as the sort of young companion, and it's also amazing that Fitzroy is 27 then, and Darwin is 22, and he goes on this trip for 5 years. He's seasick every day, which people don't realize when they hear about great scientists, that he was a terrible ordeal for him to be on this ship. And then he comes back to England, and he never leaves England again. And that was the biggest problem, that he has this wonderful experience seeing different things and eating different things and meeting different people. And then he comes back to England, and he just sits in his study and thinks mostly, which is very hard to illustrate. But I tried my best.
The very centerfold of the book is right at the time when he's publishing The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection. It's at about the time of the great Oxford debate in 1860, and this is where the debate begins. But you've created it as a centerfold. I mean, you've got four pages, and you've been able to condense. It looks like a cave painting almost, you know. The theory of evolution. I mean, this is pretty remarkable to be able to consolidate Darwin's work into a centerfold in an illustrated book.
I hope I did, because I have to say that it's also supposed to show, it's like this eruption of ideas, and I say it's this book about a thinking man for a thinking child or grown up, and you're supposed to find your own way, because what I also realized through doing this book, it's like this is one book which I cannot say it's concluded. It's just evolves even now while we speak. So some of these ideas maybe are updated today, but this is what he came up with at that time, and I just wanted to show how much it changed the whole shape of thinking of that time. And he's flying there too, which I thought, well, that was him sort of letting go and then being prepared to maybe answer all the questions.
It's interesting to discuss Darwin and his whole theory of evolution from the point of view of a young man who didn't really do what his parents expected him to do, although his grandfather apparently, as you write in the book, did express some ideas about the theory of evolution. In some ways, you can look at the evolution of his own family.
No, it's amazing. Yeah, because he was so close to, he never seen him. He was born after he died, but he was somehow continuing everything what his grandfather started, and he just did it in the wrong time and was ridiculed for that. And then Darwin finishes the legacy of his grandfather. There are all these wonderful little subplots in the book, like his father tells him when he's a little boy, like what I remember from my father, he says, what will ever become of you? You just care for shooting and horseback riding and rat catching. And then Darwin, who goes on Beagle, it comes very, very handy for him to be able to survive in South America.
Hmm.
Another thing is that he sends him to be like just like his uncle Charles, who died age 20 studying to be a doctor. So they send him to be a doctor, and Charles cannot face the surgery without anesthesia, so he runs out of the school and then has to go to Cambridge to study for divinity, and that's what actually brings him to Professor Henslow and then to Beagle. So that's sort of all these amazing coincidences which I found through going through all that material I had for this book.
I love the letter that he writes to his father in 1831, just before he goes off on the Beagle. He says, my dear father, I'm afraid I am going to make you again very uncomfortable.
he was very, very concerned about his father, that's for sure. And every time he spent some money on his trip, he just was wondering what his father would say.
What about this is interesting to children? Why would Darwin's life be interesting to a young reader?
Why I want to do these books is just because I grew up in the place where we were all supposed to think the same way. And if somebody somehow thought differently, it was dangerous and it wasn't appreciated and it could get family or lots of people in trouble. So what I want to do with these books like Darwin, Galileo, it's just that these people were thinking in the different way that they were able to change the way we see the world. And I think it goes with the maps and with explorers, and which I always admired people who can go and discover some new places. That all of a sudden when I was getting older, I realized that you can discover places within yourself or with your mind. And I think that's what Darwin, he knew very well that this is not easy, but he still had to do what he had to do. And also I think what I want to tell the kids, to show the process. Because I have kids who are like 11 now and 9, and all the culture which gets to them, it seems like, okay, so you become a rock star and then it's easy because you're having this wonderful life. And with all these people who accomplish something special, I think it shows very often that there were tough moments and difficult moments, and that sometimes it took forever, but hopefully there was something beautiful waiting in the end.
Peter Sees, his illustrated book for young readers is called The Tree of Life, Charles Darwin. It's published by Farris, Straus & Giroux. He joined us from New York. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
One final note, this past week, Peter Sees was one of 24 fellows for 2003 named by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.